Okay, you're live.
We're live. Okay, call our meeting to order. We're going to talk about having an HR department. And are you going after another mic?
I'm going after another mic. That way
okay.
We can start, go, and all that. So.
Does anybody have a list they want to go from?
Well, I have some stuff that we had talked about. I mean, just to kind of get some people up to speed. The first recent concept of adding an HR department came from One Beacon after they did an audit of our of all the department heads or the key department heads, and they came back with a list of concerns where they actually did a basically an analysis of what they say their assessment of what the risks are for the county. And then they also kind of getting everyone caught up to date, so bear with me here. They also talked about making sure that what a organization our size should have from personnel. Basically, the rule of thumb is one HR person for every 100 full-time employees is what the rule of thumb is in the industry. So he said, based off of that, you should have at least 3 full-time people, which right now we have Dixie, who is our benefits administrator, and then we outsource basically the HR handbook and things like that. So it was things like that. He also talked about other areas for of concern that maybe we aren't focusing on full-time, which we may want to consider. But one of the first things he talked about was confidentiality and having having all the employees feel comfortable to be able to come in and lodge a complaint if there's a complaint or if there's a concern about a workplace environment, things like that. So what they basically said was they were, they being Tim Cullen, One Beacon, just kind of went through a bunch of things that are items of concern or items to be considered when looking, and their recommendation was to form an HR department separate from everybody else so that that employees felt like they could go to a individual if they needed to go to a department that's separate that they could actually take care of any issue. So, I mean, other things he talked about was compensation, basically how we handle raises or from an evaluations perspective. We don't do a formal process. Obviously, being more formal with anytime an employee leaves the county, do we all the paperwork? Do we do an exit interview? Things like that. Hey, Rick.
How are you?
Good, sir. They also talked about in this One Beacon update about HR departments are always facing any potential discrimination, ethical issues, confidentiality. I could talk about privacy issue. One other thing was occupational safety. So it was their recommendations that. If the county is not willing to right now add the extra headcount to an HR department, their recommendations were that we would take the HR department as it sits and separate it from, make it independent of itself, answering to the commission and not answering to an elected official, just so that everyone has the freedom to come and talk to them with privacy and confidentiality and all that. They didn't have specifics of any issues we're having now, but that was their recommendations of what they suggested.
And then that would be a different location.
Correct. Their recommendation was to separate them and make them more isolated so that things were, like I said, separate. They felt like they needed to be separate. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
Clarified, I don't know how many people's listening in, but whenever you're talking about they and One Beacon, we had a representative from One Beacon who was an attorney
right.
for that insurance company.
Correct, and that happens
and
to be
that
our...
That insurance company's recommendations came from their list of attorneys nationwide.
Right.
And so so that everybody that is listening in to try to understand what
right.
our concerns are after talking to them,
right?
How they're founded,
right? And Rick, you may have, I don't know if you heard it. One Beacon came in and gave a report to us, you know, in executive session, and gave us some things to think about. Obviously, there's a lot of issues that we're dealing with from an HR perspective as a company. Their recommendation was to create a separate staff of HR. We've debated we've continued that debate from One Beacon multiple times with some information they gave us, and I don't think we're really ready to do the recommendation of three employees. They're saying one to every 100 employees, and that's just for right now, and I don't think we need it. I don't see the need, and I think with the economic times, we're even leaning toward not doing anything adding any extra headcount. With the relationship we have with Lynette through Tim Connell, with Akers and Ari and Vicky helping us out, is it perfect? No. But is it functional? Yeah. But the one thing that I think we talked about that was of concern was the confidentiality or the privacy of HR. And that's, I think, where we kind of decided to talk about that publicly to see, is this something we want to do? For me, I'd like to see the HR department separated from the auditor and isolated so that there is strictly a distinction so the employees can come in and feel I don't have any specifics of if they don't feel like there's privacy or confidentiality or there's just a lot of traffic in your offices, and that's not a bad thing. So
I bet let me straighten that kind of out.
Please.
Right off the bat. It doesn't have anything to do with Rick's office.
No.
Whether it was in the clerk's office or whether it was in wherever,
right.
It doesn't have anything to do with Rick's
Thank
office as
yeah.
an auditor. What they are. Concerns and their concerns were that we have it located in a location that would be totally private to everyone. We've already kind of selected a location that we thought where the old sheriff's department was at, which gives the opportunity as this discussion has went on for some time. And some of the incidents that have taken place in the past was one of the leading causes of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't have anything to do with whenever we say one elected official or removing it from this and that. It doesn't have anything to do with your
Danny, when you say that this discussion's gone on for some time, we've met, I think, three times?
Twice. Just twice. It may have been three, Chuck.
We met once upstairs.
Right, you're right.
I think we met two
right.
times with this attorney that worked for One
specifics,
Beacon.
Yeah.
And that's the discussions you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
And I agree with everything that's been said. Well put. I can't remember now, but some things we were doing well with. I mean, he audited different offices. And, I'll just say the sheriff comes to mind. He thought the sheriff was, doing good.
I think the hiring practices, I don't think he had any problem with the hiring practices.
With what we have available, we're
right.
doing a good job. But
right.
the focus was we're vulnerable in many areas.
Right.
And as far as the location, I think that there's much advantage. If someone's got an issue, could be with the county commissioners, any other office. A different location would be much more comfortable for somebody to come and say, hey, this happened.
Right.
And not having to come by my desk or anybody else's desk to get to them. And
right.
So ditto to what Danny said. It doesn't have anything to do with the auditor's office, the focus where Dixie's been. But this department needs to be separated to some extent the best we can where they're independent.
I feel comfortable that we have tried to take care of that. Dixie has the one office that locks. They don't have to go by anybody besides Joanna when they get there, so we recognize that. I recognize that we are big enough, have enough employees that we should be having an HR person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we can afford to throw more money at that right now because we do as good as we do. the payroll department has to be associated with it closely, so we'd like to keep Dixie close for sure, because we, you know, that communication has to go on. And I don't, I, you know, I haven't talked to Dixie about that. I'm sure she's listening because I said something about it. The dilemma that you have is, in county government, you have, you know, the auditor's office, you have the clerk's office, you have the collector's office, you have the commission's office, and to say, you know, that any one is more powerful than the other is where we have our problems. That's why it's difficult for us to have an HR person.
Right.
It would take a very, very special person to handle that, I think. I think there are some people who could handle that. I'm not sure we can afford to pay somebody like that. Because they would have to deal with all three of you, plus me, plus Donna, plus Sheila, plus James. All the elected officials. What are there, 9 of us, I think?
Right.
And it's just a real difficult thing. One of the things that, if we're headed that direction, one of the things we've got to get done, we need to have our personnel policy in writing, and we need to probably have the support of all the elected officials that are there.
Right.
And, you know, that may mean a lot of work to get there, but that's the difficulty that I see when Dixie talks about it. And now, a dilemma that you're going to have, too, is if you were to move Dixie someplace else right now, mm-hmm. and say she's the HR department, there's going to be times when she can't be there. She's not going to be there. Who's going to fill in?
Right.
And we handle that pretty good. Joanna fills in for most of the time. Sometimes Don does. Sometimes, once in a while, I will if somebody comes right. in and it's something I can handle.
From an administrative perspective, you mean, or just?
No, we never know whether we're going to have two people come in as new hires today or
right.
nobody or
okay.
somebody come in and they're leaving, so they need to check out one of the things like that. There's a lot more to HR than what some of you guys recognize, I think. She's busy all the time.
Right. Right.
And one person can't do it by herself. So that would be one reason for saying, no, don't do it now until you can afford to have
right.
another person someplace.
Rick,
and if you do it that way, you're going to have to find somebody to back it up.
You said, going back just a little bit, you mentioned personnel policy in writing. We do have personnel policy in writing.
We've been told.
You're talking about revising it, bringing it up new.
The revisions Lynette has, I think Tim was kind of waiting. You know, when Tim presented everything, you know, he said, you know, you really, like he said, you need a big-time person to come in. I said, well, what's one of those people cost? And it was more than we're willing to spend right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in those discussions, you know, we hadn't decided. We just told him basically hold off Lynette until, because we had that one meeting early in the spring about all the changes with the, and those are all actually in a draft that Lynette has ready to present back to us. But we kind of told Tim to hold off until we figure out what we're doing, if anything, with the HR department. But, yeah, we need to get a more current HR personnel book.
It's we don't feel like that we can rely on everybody to follow that personnel
right.
book right now.
Right.
And that's a real dilemma. I mean, even some of the offices that you're over, we don't feel confident that they're going to rely on that.
Right.
We've talked about that for years now. There's things in our policy that folks don't follow, and we've tried to, but we need to keep working on it, I think.
Right.
So, just hearing what you guys are thinking about, I would say, I mean, I understand why you want to do that, but my first thing would be, okay, you're going to have backup because, well, Dixie's been here a long time. She got a lot of vacation, have trouble getting her to take enough vacation.
Right.
And I don't know whether it's going to work out good or not. We do have her office where she can
right.
go in and close it, lock it, whatever, and stuff like that. So,
as far as, this is a detail kind of, but benefits. When you mentioned when new people come in, there could be some scheduling in place where some office is hiring somebody that they check to be sure it's not Dixie's day off, so that fill-in person would be needed less, or it wouldn't just be dropped, right? Yes, that's a broad yes.
It could happen, but I don't expect it will.
Well, I think if we, we talk about it and explain what's going on, I know things happen and you got to have immediate once in a while, but a lot of times it's just not planning ahead.
Chuck, we've had people hire and go to work without being drug tested several times under several different departments. That tells me people don't know the HR, because that's, this man, I'm sure, told you that's a no-no. Sure.
There's a good point that possibly that the HR department could, as we grow and learn, that HR person would be the one that says, okay, elected officials, department heads, now here's the things that we need to work on. The one we're just talking about as an example.
But like you said, Rick, it'll take a special person. I mean, One Beacon had a unique ability to go talk to everybody, and conceptually, all the elected officials are wanting us to have a department, conceptually. But it takes that special person, and that's why we're not ready for that right now, and I don't want to rush that. That's the process, but I thought that's why I posted this. I think the first step is to start creating an HR department so that we can kind of see if we can start continue to grow on the buy-in from the other departments. And I mean, I think we just got to make a step somewhere.
Guys, the biggest thing as far as you guys is make sure that you and every department that you have follows the rules that are in that thing. And that doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
It's top-down leadership right here. You guys have got, that's where you've got to start. Hey, this is what our policy says. And so if it's an exception to the policy, you guys can say, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
That's where it's going to start. When you get that, then you can start talking to the other elected officials, and I think most of them will fall in line with you. It'll take a while.
It's
not an overnight thing, for sure.
Right.
Leading to this discussion, though, is actually a protection procedure for the county, as far as I'm concerned. I think, as I made mention once, when HR was brought up, I think we're probably 10 years overdue. The fact that things have happened since I've been here that people have came to me with, that if there had been an HR department, that they would have been handled, taken care of, without coming to an elected official, trying to figure out how to go to somebody else to get something done, and so I think from a lawsuit
prevention
from just a personnel, is One Beacon that told us that, did Springfield have 8 to 10?
Yeah.
Springfield has 8 to 10. Greene County has what, 3? Even outside three or four,
I think. I think actually
outside
there,
other counties that we visited with. We talked to this with other commissioners at the commission meeting, just trying to figure out if they had a department and who was involved. Most of the third class counties don't. Some have one person that you can go to, but all the first class counties but us pretty well have something in place to where somebody can go and complain, you know, if it be again a commissioner, if it be again their elected official boss, they need to have a place to go.
That happens. they've got a place to go. They feel comfortable talking with Dixie. That's not as much a problem right now, I don't believe, as getting your policies, getting everybody knowledgeable of what your policies are, of hiring, firing, those kinds of things.
Yeah, but here's what I'm wanting to see, and it's a process, is I'm wanting to see if there's someone comes in with a complaint, I want it on file, and I want it in a room that is protected, isolated, away from everything. If we have an employee and there's a 3-day suspension for something that's out of hand, and then there's a 1-day suspension on the same employee, and you go back and you have a situation turn up, and all you do is pull their file, and there, right there it is. And it gives you safety safeguard to whatever action you decide to take at that point. Whereas if they just come in and talk to an individual about a circumstance and there's nothing documented, you're pretty well where you started off. So I don't know that much about HR myself, so I'm...
Well, there's going to have to be a lot of communication between payroll.
Well, a lot of the time sheets and stuff like he's talking about comes through me.
Come on up to the mic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cases where it does, but I'm just saying, I know other counties have an HR department, but usually they put their payroll with it because that was the reason we moved HR into our department, because HR was over here in another department, and we didn't know what they were doing, and they didn't know what we were doing. And but sometimes, you know, things come in through payroll that doesn't come through the HR department. So, we got both of them going through there.
That's one of the things that someone's terminated. I know that there has been occasions where you've came to us, mm-hmm. where the termination signatures for somebody. There's all kinds of things that we're going to have to work on.
Right.
And those things will have to be fall in place. And we got to start somewhere. And for me, that time is now.
And I agree there needs to be some way, you know, some of that done, but...
So, if I'm understanding you, all you're thinking about is moving
Dixie.
Mm-hmm. to another spot. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, to be real honest with you, don't see any much advantage to that. I don't know what you guys are seeing as an advantage. I see more disadvantage because I know that Dixie's, you know, she works 4 days a week for me right now. Okay? She works 4/10, and then she's probably, how many days of vacation she got probably?
I don't know, it's probably down to 100 now. But
a lot. You're just almost going to have to hire somebody else if you move her out. And, I mean, I don't see that that's a plus. But you guys are telling me that you feel like that's necessary. If you feel like it's necessary, then I'm not going to argue with you. I just think you need to think about both sides of it.
Well, with the limitations that we, from what we heard from One Beacon, was that we needed at least 3 people, and we were wanting to establish a department
first,
and then look at personnel. Kind of establish a department, get everything kind of organized to the point where if Dixie or whoever else would be in that department would have a guideline to go by that wouldn't be controlled by anybody else. That's one reason I'm trying to just...
That's the real dilemma, not controlled by anybody else, because I don't know why you think moving her is not going to control her by anybody else. She does what she's supposed to do, and I don't argue with her. She is, as far as I'm concerned, she is our HR person. I think probably everybody in the county will tell you that. Right now, she uses the other 2 employees in my office as her backup. So we basically are using, close to 3 full-time employees. If you move her out, put her on her own, she's not going to be able to accomplish what she could accomplish in that department where she's at. Now, I agree with you. We need an HR department. If we're going to have one, and that's what your goal is, we need to be looking for an HR person. Maybe you want it to be Dixie and hire somebody to go under. Maybe you want it to be somebody else, and hopefully Dixie will want to work for them.
We talked to Tim right when the presentation, you know, when they came in and gave it, and we told Tim start looking. But what we realized is it has to be the right person. We can't make this hastily because it's got to be a right person to handle all the personalities and all the different dynamics uh-huh. that go into a county with all the elected officials. And from my thinking, creating the separation is a start
okay.
that we can keep on starting to look. I'm not saying we're not. I don't want to rush one thing or wait one thing because we don't have that key person yet.
I just don't feel like that I see value to creating separation.
Okay.
I mean, I, 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 Rick, you guys are decision makers, not me.
The one thing that comes to my mind to your question is, if there's a, okay, let's use our office, commission office. If one of the employees in our office or one that's under us has a problem with a supervisor or an elected official, at one point I thought about giving my office and letting her go to my office and go back there where Patsy was for a while. But somebody in our office would be quite uncomfortable, in my opinion, would be uncomfortable going to talk to the HR person, Dixie or whoever it is, if it's located in the same office that they got a problem. And I hope they never have a problem in the commission office or your office or anybody else's office. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it a minute, I thought, well, that ain't going to work at all. And then the idea came up of Jimmy's old office. And it's just, it just seems to me the perception for an employee that would have a problem if they're going to a department, an office that is separate from everybody else. There's a bit of peace that would come there for that individual. And again, heaven forbid that we ever have that situation come up, but if we do,
so you're thinking the location makes all the.
We want the employee to feel as comfortable and safe.
Oh, I agree.
To get their issue resolved, and that's why I think that it's valuable that it's not your office, it's not our office or anybody else's office, but it's a separate and a person that has a problem comes in.
Let me ask you.
I'm just trying to explain to you why I feel that way.
And I want to try to explain to you why I don't think it's going to make any difference. The key is, who do they think that person answers to? And if you think that they're not going to come in there because they think Dixie answers to me, then I would agree with you. The location is, if you think the location's making a difference, all it is going to make us a lot more steps, because we're still going to have to make the connection for payroll and stuff like that, which would be good for our office. We'd have more room down here. If it was an office right next door, it would be even better. But if you move Dixie over there and she still answers to me, she's still under my control, what difference have you done besides location?
I don't see an HR department. Ultimately, I see the HR department being a separate entity, okay, that answers to the commission. I don't think it should answer to.
So you want Dixie to answer to you?
I think that's where the HR department needs to answer ultimately, yes.
And I think that's probably more of a problem. That's the reason I think you're having trouble finding someone, is because the HR person answering to the commission gives them what Chuck is worried about. That, you know, most of the time when we have a problem, they know that the big buck stops there. And so they don't want to talk to somebody that answers to the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real dilemma that you have. I understand what you're trying to do, mm-hmm. but you understand what I'm trying to say there, I think.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
But you made a point earlier that, get my voice back here, the nine elected officials, if that's the right number, mm-hmm. the county commission has responsibilities, and you referred to the personnel policy as being our policy, and it is. We're responsible for that. But each one has the same, I mean, you have the same authority over your office that we have ours. And it's been set up. I'd be happy to do away with some of the responsibilities that commissioners have in a heartbeat. But we have the responsibility for the personnel policy. Personnel policy, as you mentioned early, is a part of HR. And they do, as you brought the point up just now, is they look to the county commission as being the top dog. You talked a minute ago about top-down leadership. I think you were talking about the county commission again. And we have different we have those responsibilities, but really, we're not the top. We're just the top on our issues.
You're the top on yours,
and Helen's the top on hers, and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. We just have our responsibilities, and the insurance, they come to us for that decision. If there's a way to get us out of the decision and it's the right thing to do, man, I make enough decision. I'd be glad to get out of some. I'm saying that somewhat jokingly, but
I understood all that except I didn't. Okay,
is that the county commission, best I can tell, has a responsibility to take this action, and so it makes sense that they would be under the county commission's deal. But again, they're going to work. It's important that it's the kind of person that can work, because they're going to be responsible to work for all. And I don't know what step beyond that, a committee of elected officials that they visit with or something, because, you know, you got a problem with the county commissioner. Your point is right. I mean, it's a little bit difficult. Pardon me?
Give it to the county attorneys, as you said.
Chuck, I understand the dilemma.
Yeah.
I understand the dilemma, and there's probably not any way you can get away from having exactly what we're talking about there. I agree with you, but I guess you can't say that you feel like this is your responsibility to do this, but I want it to be easier for the employees to come in, because it's not going to be easier for the employees to come in if they know that they answer to you. You can't have both.
I missed part of that. It isn't our responsibility, or it is our responsibility?
I said you can say that if you want to say it's your responsibility and do it because it's your responsibility, fine. That's one reason. Or you can say we're going to do it because we might want to make it easier for the people. Well, if you want to make it easier for the people, you may want to leave them where they're at. So, I mean, you can't argue both of them.
Who do you feel like is responsible to that?
Chuck, it's not my decision to make. If you think it's yours, it's yours. Yeah, I agree with that completely.
I mean, somebody's got to take responsibility for it. I mean, I don't think there's any question that there's a need, and you seem to agree with that.
I think right now that all you have is a little bit of a shield from that, because even now, if I have Dixie as my employee because it's budgeted that way, but I think probably if it came right down to it, if you said, hey, no, we don't like the HR, the way the HR is going, I think probably you have control over that. I know you do. So I think it is ultimately your responsibility. I think right now the way it is, you do have a little easier opportunity for people to come in. I think probably people would feel more comfortable coming in talking if they wanted to talk about some problem with the commission, probably some problem with most of the other elected officials, than they would if it was directly under commission.
He's obviously alerted you to a concern, but I mean, I guess what you'd need to do if you were going to do it this way is to set up some sort of Chinese wall to keep the...
Which could be, maybe you offer that person a three-year contract. There's a lot of different things you could do.
Employment contract you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they can't be fired at will by the county commission, and they have a degree of autonomy. From you. What you're trying to do is get some sort of autonomy.
Correct.
So that you address that situation.
Correct.
Whether it's an employment contract or some sort of policy, you need to set up a Chinese wall to address the concern that he's bringing to you.
We've talked about this. It is an important part, and something like Bob's talking about, or we can look at some other counties, see how they've resolved that. But
it's like you said before. It takes some responsibility away from me. It may, if you leave payroll in my department, it may make it more difficult for me in the long run if you move them apart. It probably will, because that communication has to be there. But I understand what you're thinking about. I just wanted you to think about both sides, because I think, in my mind, I think you need to find that person that you want to be in charge, and you need to look at maybe saying one other employee before you go on. Maybe not, but I think so.
We've still got 10 minutes for our next meeting. Don, or you, explain somehow the payroll, the connection, and what needs to happen between HR and payroll.
Well, she does all the
benefits. I understand.
She does all the benefits, and then
You're just kind of a standby there,
right? Put in, yeah.
Well,
and then I have to set it all up in my system.
Yeah. Any benefits that's paid for pre-tax has to go through payroll. We can't take it. So that's that.
when we hire somebody, we have to have the hire date in serve. That goes to payroll.
Okay, so hang on with me. So the new employee sits down with the HR person and they discuss the benefits and they decide what they want. Then the HR person would relay that information to payroll. Is that right?
Yeah, and she gives me all the paperwork. Right now, with us having that 90-day where they got to be here 90 days,
right.
In 90 days, Dixie's got to send me over the paperwork because a lot of times they don't finish up the medical, the dental, and all that, what their preferences is, whether they want deductions or not, or additional dependent coverage.
So basically you just have to receive the pay, the paperwork.
Right. And then, but right now I do AFLAC and I do loggers. So that stuff will have to be all switched over to the HR department. So
explain that to me.
I do all the reporting. When a new employee comes in, Dixie has them fill out the paperwork, but then I do all the reporting, all
as
the
a payroll
turning
function.
In. Yeah, as okay. A payroll function. But I also do all the, they just fill out the form. I send that all in to SURF, loggers, and I do all the communications with loggers.
Why would we want to change that? I mean, why wouldn't we do that?
I don't know.
There?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that isn't that a kind of more of a payroll function than not an HR function?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think we'd want to change that. No. Doesn't sound like.
And then SURF, I do all the reporting for SURF. I generate all that.
Would that need to change?
It would not. I hope it doesn't because it's going to be a nightmare if you do.
I don't see a need in changing that. So
the mostly it's getting the information.
It's just
from
us communicating back and forth.
Right.
Like whenever an employee is hired, you need to make sure that I know that they're not, whether they're full time, part time,
sure.
With benefits, without benefits. Just things like that. And as long as what the nice thing is I can walk in Dixie's office and say, hey, we don't have this marked or blah,
right.
Blah, blah.
And the biggest thing is right now, I see it's going to create a lot more steps for us. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's going to make it much easier for somebody to walk in there.
Okay.
And it's going to cause Dixie to come back to me because everything ultimately comes back to me whenever there's anything. When it comes retirement time, she's got to come back. I've got to generate all these reports. I've got to go through all this stuff. They go back to Dixie, then they go back to Donna, then they go back to Dixie, and then, yeah, it's just you've got a lot of that
right.
Goes on. And there's probably a lot of things that I don't even, I do every day that I don't even think about. And I'm always walking in Dixie's office and saying, hey, this,
right.
That. But, we can make it work. It's just that it's going to be, it'll be fun for a while.
It's hard to discuss this without using examples, and I'm not going to use examples for using names. But when you have a supervisor out on a job, I'm just going to use road and bridge, and that supervisor is responsible for 4 or 5 employees. And one of the employees has a problem with the way things are going with the supervisor and his connection with some of the other things, or maybe he sees some things wrong that he wants to report, he has no place to go to even talk about that situation if you don't have an HR division for him to be able to step into. If a supervisor has a problem with an employee, he takes it to the job foreman. A lot of times that thing gets... I'm going to use the word killed. I don't know whether that's the right term or not, but before it ever is addressed by anybody with any authority, as it goes up the chain of command, that person that has the problem has no opportunity to get it to the level of an HR person to have it corrected. That's where I find ourselves in a liability case of someone. I can name several circumstances over the
years. I understand
years.
All that, Danny, but I don't see that that's going to change because you move Dixie from where she's at from where she's going. Because, we have the road and bridge people come in all the time.
Right.
That will change when you get an HR department that is...
Then maybe what we do is make the change and start looking faster for an HR person, if that's the case.
And here's the real challenge as you're looking for one of those people. Number one, the cost.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, you can't just go get a good HR person. You might have the best HR person in the world, and if they don't understand county government and how it works, mm-hmm. you don't have anybody who can do anything.
Right.
they've got to understand that I've got this department, I've got this department, I've got
that's
this
why
department.
We, that's why we wouldn't separate that mm-hmm. from this, just mm-hmm. because that's going to take a while to find the right person to get it. I know that's where I see us going. Mm-hmm. Just I don't want to wait to start the separation. We're close to, so close to this fiscal year to go ahead and start the separation and then start working on the candidate search. If that's what we're going to do from budget. I mean, it comes down to budget, too.
Okay, what about unemployment? See, I do all the unemployment whenever someone terminates and I come in and they send all the unemployment stuff to me and I fill out whether we're going to fight it or not.
Right.
That stuff go...
I would think initially, Don, I don't foresee, in my thinking, and we hadn't talked about this, but I wouldn't think right now taking any function from what you're doing just to try to start the separation and see... basically how it goes and how we see things progressing.
Me either. That I might be a real good place to start is to, if you're thinking about doing an HR department, which I think we are, what we need to do is decide what are the functions of what are the responsibilities, what are the functions, where they're going to be at, which department they're going to be at, so that, and then you when you begin to search for someone, they'll know what they need to do.
Right.
That might be a real good thing to start doing right there is decide where are the responsibilities? Because right now they're so combined, you really would have trouble distinguishing them.
Like Jim, I don't see that what Don's doing changes. There may be something coming up.
I think you may want to consider where that's at. Some of those things may need to change. Yes.
The last one that she mentioned, maybe one. Because
very likely,
she comes to me
quite often. Two or three that will.
She comes to me quite often, which I don't even know that I should even have to be bothered, except in the most serious of cases. Should we fight this one or should we not fight this one? I think if we had an HR person, they could say, look, we need to fight this one. We don't need to fight this one. And you may have an EEOC complaint or that sort of thing. So you really need somebody with that background making that decision. And that's why Don often consults with me on those.
Okay. Well, I think then I would, Rick, and I've heard everything you've said. I still am convinced that we need to move forward on the separation. Okay? Bobby.
Jim, the good thing about this, I'm going to get another office in there, I think. I don't know. I might get a window even.
You get the window, you get them out of the safe. Do we need to make a motion? I mean, how do we do this? I mean, I'd like to put Dawn.
Dixie.
No offense, don't want you. You're great there.
Thank you.
You're great right there. Do we need to move...
I don't think you need to make a motion to actually do it, but to fund it, I think she's probably under the
auditor's budget,
so you may need to make a motion along those lines.
I
and
would
it wouldn't
say
hurt it, to make
unless
a motion.
You're really anxious to do it right now, I'd say let's just you guys talk about it and let's maybe budget it different at the budget.
Budget time. For next year, and then but can we start making plans to move this year?
You
can make any plans
okay.
you want, yeah.
Well, if we don't want to mess with budget, the same reporting chain can go. I mean, we're only.
I don't think you want to
days.
Change budget until the end of the year, but if you want to after the end of the year, that's
right.
That's,
so going yeah. forward for next year, we do that. But go ahead and then let's, if it's all right, we ask Dixie to start preparing for the move and the separation immediately, and then we budget next year for it to be separate. And there's no motion necessary because we're not changing moving funds at all.
No, this is all administrative stuff. I mean,
sounds good to me. We'll work through it. The other two things, thank you guys for being open and agreeable and everything. And the other one is we need to speak with all the other elected officials that this is what we're trying to get done. And we want any input. Chinese wall, we need to work on that right off the bat, I think. One of the first things. Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other comments?
No.
All right, let's talk about insurance. Welcome, Akers and Arnie.
As they're walking up here.
Let me get out of here and you guys can sit here.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I talked to Dixie extensively yesterday about the plans. She gave us the revisions yesterday, emailed them to us.
Yep.
And in talking, the St. John's plan
of soul choice, I think, is what they how they table it. Is that what they call it? Am I using the wrong term?
Nope. Soul choice plan.
Soul choice.
Hey, Dixie, plan. If you're listening and soul have
option.
Time.
Soul we, option. I'm sorry. Soul
I'd
option.
I'd love to have you here.
These guys will know almost as much as Dixie if I tell, ask them.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're going
I like that almost because that's about right.
That's the way I tell them. About
yeah, she had sent over four
you
options.
Can see this?
Is that the one you just printed out?
I got this for Dixie yesterday.
Yes,
not knows. Yesterday, but Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Are you looking at plan 7 on that?
Let me pull it up here. I didn't print it out yet. I'm having a little challenges here.
Hey, Dixie, before you get comfortable, would you mind to make us about three or four more copies of that one you gave me Tuesday? It's got the four plans.
Oh, okay.
Would you mind? So Bill and Don to have and everybody to have.
Chuck, if we may, off the bat, Danny, our sincere condolences on the passing of your father.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
One conversation that I had with Dixie was, I don't know if she had a chance to do it or whatnot, but here we are again. We're talking about changing companies, and there's problems with that for folks. And the primary physician, and what I asked Dixie to do, if she could, would, is to call the ones she knew of in the area, the local physicians that a lot of us use. Are they going to be any change there? Will they be under Mercy as they are under Cox? You didn't hear that, Dixie, but did you have time, take time, think about calling to see how many doctors, regular ones? Not yet. Okay. You all got any
it's really the specialists. I think we talked about that a little bit, Dixie.
We made a provider list. Is that what you're asking? Or I didn't call any doctors to see what they got.
My concern is, as I shared with you, is that if we change companies, are there going to be a lot of employees that have their primary physician not covered under the new plan, that they'd have to go get a different physician? That's the one question that's kind of big on my mind.
I think I can address that, yeah. Chuck. In Forsyth, in Branson, there probably won't be a large disruption. Most of the physicians take both the St. John's plans as well as the plans through Cox, whether it's Cox Health Plans, Anthem, all that stuff. In Springfield, though, obviously, that's sure. where the difference lies. Right. You're going to be with either St. John's or you're going to be with Cox. So if people have OBGYNs, if they have pediatricians, if they have those kind of folks, right. Then oftentimes you're going to see some disruption there.
Yeah. Dixie, you may have to stand at the microphone. I'm going to have to ask some questions so you can from our conversation so that you can remind me properly. If I'm not mistaken, the Cox plan, we're looking at about a 6% increase, I think is what Vicki presented. She also, if I'm not mistaken, said Mercy came in and matched the Mercy quote mm-hmm. matched our existing rate.
Right.
So if I was going to compare what we're paying right now, I could just use the Mercy quote as what we're paying right now, correct?
Yeah. Do you have the sheet right here?
I do.
Okay, I think that's where they matched it.
There we go. Here it is. The HMO, not the PPO, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's where they matched the
that's
HMO.
Okay.
For the sake of time, we've scheduled it too yep. tight here today. We've got a 9 o'clock BOE. So do you gentlemen have any input for us, any advice before we get into running out of time?
And Chuck, I guess, you know, my understanding is that you guys got the proposals from Vicki. Obviously, Mercy is less, as Jim had said. They're about 6% less. Yes, there is some potential for some disruption. I think there was also some discussion, I think basically just to bring it back to you all's minds. You guys have been with Premier before. I know Vicki shared that there was a little bit of concern because you'd gone with them in the past, and then you got a big increase in the next year. Just to counsel you as your agent, I cannot guarantee you that wouldn't happen again. You know, that's just what when the renewal comes out, we get it, you know, hopefully a few days before you do so that we can take a look at it for you. So the renewal from Cox is probably pretty fair at 6%, but on the other hand, times are tough. I understand where the county's at, and so I would leave that to you all to determine what you think the best course of action is to go.
One quick one. You represent folks from both plants. That's a given.
Yes, sir.
Don't have any big words and warnings since you're our guy to protect us. Or do you?
No, I don't. They're both good carriers. They both have a place in the marketplace. Historically, Cox has seemed to be a little more competitive in the Taney County area, but Mercy seems to be coming out with a pretty good number this time in this regard. So, I think either one of them would pay your claims and do you a good job.
Relationship-wise, you have a... I was here during the big increase. The first year I was here, that's when we had to make the decision. Your relationship with the company at Cox, who you went back to at that point, and went from a September date to a December 1st date, which give us a longer history in the insurance actually in the claims, for them to evaluate the claims. So do you have that same relationship with Mercy that we had at that point, a guarantee of, I'm just working off memory and you'll have to help me, Dixie, we had a guarantee of not more than a certain amount of increase during the next year. Am I right?
I think so.
Okay. That's where I'm going with mm-hmm. what I'm talking about now. If we have Mercy and we have a 6% difference, is there a relationship with them that would have you be able to contact them to see if there is a no more than such a certain amount of increase?
A rate cap renewal?
Yes. I mean, you've got the right terms for it. I'm just trying to...
Gotcha.
I'm just trying to get it out there where we...
Vicki had talked to them about that, and only she said anything to you or not, but I did talk to her, and she said she suspected you might ask for that, Danny, so I asked her, and she said that they said no way, and the rationale behind that was we don't know what's going to happen with Obamacare, and you got to understand right. where they're at there. I doubt that you could get the same thing with Cox right now. I don't know. Do you have any idea?
Unlikely, yeah. Although I don't know right. that we've asked.
She did. She did ask St. John's or mm-hmm. Mercy. She did ask them, and that was the answer she got. I do know that.
I think she mentioned that when she talked to us last time. Yeah.
Dixie, one question for the chiropractic care in Forsyth. Did you say under the Mercy plan? Did you find that there was a doctor here?
There is.
So that would be a benefit to chiropractic care here mm-hmm. if we switch over to Mercy.
Yeah.
Guys, I looked at the PPO on the bottom right of your PPO number 7, revised 4, the fourth version. That seemed to actually offer some savings to the employees and got close to the coverage we're having right now. The biggest thing is just some notable things that are changes. The emergency room rate would go to $100 versus $75. And I had those numbers of how many people did that. Dixie had given me that. And then the urgent care would go from 40 to 50. That's probably the two major things I would think, if I'm not mistaken, Dixie, based on our conversation yesterday. But in exchange for that, the employee only rate would go down from 342 to 316. But really, when you start looking at the other plans, it actually would save the employees money on a monthly basis. And if you start balancing how many times multiple families went to urgent care or emergency room the same year, this more than the savings on a monthly basis more than covered the cost of those events. And so really what you start seeing is it's a net savings to the people.
Dixie looked up for me. Uh-huh. I visited with her. Mm-hmm. So if you're insuring your family, it's going to save you $50 or a little more a month.
Yep, it's
if a person's paying for their family.
Right, yeah, it's $9.92 and it would go down to $9.17.
So
I mean, it's $75.
Mm-hmm. Well, one question is, what about the, we've had two opportunities, but we're just looking at an HMO and a PPO. If we go to Mercy, will they give us two different plans to choose from?
They will. There was a question of whether
whether
you really wanted to do that or not, or whether you wanted to just go with one plan. And
the sole option. That's why we looked at it, because we could get really close to what we have without an HMO and a PPO and save us money, because they did provide an HMO and a PPO option, I think. And we can just basically stay where we are with the 6%, or go to Mercy and stay where we are financially and get the same coverage. But I think with the sole option, looks like we can save money to the employees. So,
okay, we're a couple of minutes from 9 o'clock. How do we draw this to a close, and what do we want to do next? Anybody got any suggestions?
Are you guys ready to make a decision yet?
No, I'm not. I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because there's other discussions to be talked about, as far as we went 2 years ago, increased the employees. The county went $100 on their family plan from 50 or something like that. There's other things that we can talk about. That
how about we table this issue until after BOE. We've got a number of people.
Yeah, but I've come for me. I'm not here.
Oh, you're gone.
I already had
convinced. All right, well, let's call another time then.
Well, let me ask you,
Let me ask Danny this first. Danny, is there anything that would keep you from making a choice on which one of these plans you're going to use? Because we need that for the benefits fair that they're getting ready to do.
Well, that's what I said. What's our absolute deadline? Do we post it for tomorrow, table it till tomorrow, and finish the discussion tomorrow?
That will be okay.
Let's just table it, guys, to tomorrow morning. Do you have your agenda in front of you?
Do you need us back over here, Danny?
No, I don't think we need you.
We can call you on telephone.
We could call you and actually have you on speakerphone to discuss any...
Can we move it till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? Table it?
Any minor questions. We have so many other different things that we do with the county as far as employee benefits. Mm-hmm. And the realization of that sometimes gets lost in this paperwork. Based upon what we actually offer. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason I'm not ready to make my mind up on what decision we make.
I move that we table this discussion until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Second.
And will you guys be available by phone conference?
I'm going to, if I may, let me give you a couple phone numbers, okay? 8 o'clock in the morning is prior to our switchboard opening.
Okay.
And John...
Checking my calendar right now here. Hold on.
I don't know if we'll need... I mean, I really don't know if we'll need... I mean...
I'm available. If you need me, that's great.
So, here's a cell number, Jim.
Yep. 335-0418.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to give you
I hope the whole internet heard that.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah.
So, please.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you mine also, okay? You ready?
Yeah. You can hit the button right there.
593-6507.
Thank you
1 a.m.
for being here, and apologize.
I apologize for the fact that we.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Gentlemen, and very quickly, in our industry, we have what's called continuing education, and there's hours that we have to have. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but Vicki is out of town in a continuing education.
She told us she would be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She got the B team.
So she said the second.
She said the second stringer. That's right.
You got the B team.
Thank you very much.
Recess to change seats.